I'll be your lady. Thanks you every before you. Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary for you. Amen. Let this be a sanctuary for the Lord. That's the desire of all Christians, isn't it? A sanctuary is a dwelling place for God to dwell. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn to 2 Peter again, where we read this morning. We'll read verse 1 through 5 of 2 Peter. Now remember, the Lord willing, I said, we have a tentative announcement of Brother Bartley from Jamaica being with us Wednesday. We'll just have to wait and see. And then Brother Tim Cross is supposed to be with us this coming weekend. He's coming down for the wedding. Am I right on that now? This coming weekend, he's coming for the wedding, Brother Tim Cross. That's Brother Gerald Hughes' son-in-law, the best I remember, isn't it? I think that they're saying, yeah. Okay, Brother Gerald Hughes' son-in-law. I've met him one time or one or two times before, but he's supposed to be with us next weekend to minister for us. I don't know how much or what services, but he has been notified to speak for us next weekend. So remember him. Just keep him in your prayers. Keep praying for Brother Sweeting. He's there in the hospital, and pray for Sister Sweeting that the Lord would touch her because of trying to raise that child. You know, she needs him. That's the way I was praying. Lord, you know that this woman needs that man, you know. And I thought about it. I said, Brother Lysandre, when he was here preaching for us, you remember he said that his mother died, and that he said, Lord, we can't afford to bury her. You remember? And he said, Lord, you got to raise her up. And the Lord just raised her up from the dead. She lived a long time, you know. So that's what I was thinking when I was praying for him the other day. I said, Lord, this man's needed, you know. It wouldn't matter if he wasn't a Christian or what he was. He's needed to help raise that child and all. So, you know, just keep praying for him. 2 Peter 1. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We pray that you would just bless each and every one. Bless Wade as he's away there and Brother Dean ministering, Lord, and just bless each one of them. Take care of them, Lord, and be with them on the traveling. And Father, we pray that you'd be with Brother Sweeting there in the hospital, that you'd deliver him from this condition and home to his wife to where they can take care of the baby and things, Lord. We know that you are the healer in all things, but we know this man is needed desperately to, because Sister Sweeting cannot take care of the baby, Lord. Just help him. And just have your way, Father. Let your light shine in each one of our hearts and lives. Forgive our sins, because we know we fail you. And just help us to be what you want us to be. As we speak about you, Father, you come on the scene and speak to our hearts and show yourself unto us through the revelation of thy word. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter 1. We'll just read the first 5 verses because we'll be dealing with that part. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now remember, not written to the world. Writing this to those that are in Christ Jesus, that have obtained the like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now remember what we were talking about this morning, that this is not written to the world. This is written, the Bible is written, all the scriptures are written to those that are in Christ Jesus. See? Because the carnal man cannot understand the things of God, the scripture says. See, because it's carnally, you know, it just can't do it. That's why Satan, see, he would say to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. Turn this into bread. You know, all natural things. Because he couldn't comprehend the spiritual. All right? And the first message that Jesus preached, doctrinal message, was to who? To Nicodemus. The first message, Brother Brown said, Jesus preached doctrinally was what? You must be born again. Because he told Nicodemus, he said, if you're not born again, you can't see, you can't understand the kingdom. Well, naturally, there was a natural carnal man now. And he said, how can I go back into my mother's womb and come forth again? It sounds so much like that was what Jesus was saying to him. That's what the greatest learned man of the time, you know, said about it. Then Jesus turned and he said, but if I can't tell you of earthly things, in other words, if I can't explain to you the simplicity of what I've come for, are you listening? He said, if I can't explain what I've come for to you and telling you that you must be born again, how are you going to understand heavenly things if I talk to you about them? He said, there's no need of it, because you first must understand what I come for. I come to die. We have the only doctrinal issues around the world of our rulers or whatever we have, or our leaders, that for us to have salvation, it was required that our head die. He had to die to give his life that we might live. All right. But now, listen to what he's saying. He said, now those that have obtained like precious faith. So now just back up just a little bit and review to make sure you understand that this is not written to the world. It's written to those that are in Christ Jesus. Peter said, I have this faith. I've asked you to read the Statue of a Perfect Man and to read Blasphemous Names. And then those two books, you'll see a lot about what the prophet is saying. Read them over and over. You know. All right? You see, you must be born again to be able to understand. All right? Then in being born again, it brings you into the line to where that you are the children of God. So the rain is not falling then on the unjust that you are. It's falling on you that are in the body of Jesus Christ. But it's falling upon the denominational world. It's falling upon the religious world of today. And the Bible is poured, it said the Spirit is poured out upon all. All right? So anyone that can come to a position of like a spiritual condition, then the anointing of the Holy Ghost can fall on them. They can do great signs and wonders. But we're not interested in signs and wonders. Signs always follow the believer. Believers don't follow signs, as Brother Harris would always say. Signs follow a believer. You get born again, don't worry about you going to do something. There's never been a baby born yet that didn't at least make a little racket and didn't do something, you know. And start learning and crying and doing and running and, you know, walking and running and doing things. Don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. And the prophet said these things will be automatically added if you'll get the new birth to start with. All right. But see, if you don't get the new birth, there's nothing to add to. Right. See, there's nothing to, you know, you can't do it like some Blasphemous Names, especially where the prophet said a lot of the people of the world have a portion of these virtues without being born again. You know, this natural people that you see that are good people. But they can never, now listen, here's the point, the difference between the two, between the sinner and the Christian. See, the sinner, he can control himself and come to the position to where that he can manifest things, but he can never be a partaker of the divine nature of Almighty God. You can't do that. All right? See, because that requires the birth first. You see why that the birth is, you know, see why the prophet said the new birth is the most important thing in the world to you? Because without the new birth, you're not in the body of Christ. Without the new birth, you can't understand. You can't know what is really being taught. You can hear it up here, but it doesn't drop down here. And you can hear it, the prophet has quoted another day on it, where he said in a church age book that you can hear the word every day of your life and put a carnal interpretation on it and go off into sin. Every doctrine in the world is based, you know, religious realm, is based upon the Bible, right? But it's their concept or thought or what they want to pull out. Like Sister Barbara's husband was telling me, said, I believe in the Bible. You know. And I said, well, sure, you say you believe in the Bible? Yeah. And I caught him, you know, and he just grinned at me because we have a good conversation. He didn't get upset with me. And he's Islamic, you know, and I said, in other words, what you're saying is what the Bible says that you believe is okay. But when the Bible says something contrary to what you believe, it's not right. He said, that's right. See, you know, he was honest enough to tell me that. But see, they believe a certain amount of the Bible. Because every doctrine in the world has some connection in one form or the other to what we call the Bible, you know. All right? But see, I don't want it just a connection. I want to be what God wants me to be here. And to do that, see, in the growth development that we'll get into later, we will learn that we must be partakers of His divine nature. And see, when you're born again, you receive the life of Jesus Christ. We know that. All right. That's the new birth that we'll be dealing with. But that only makes you a baby or a babe in Christ, the scripture says. Just like a natural baby is born. He doesn't know anything. And man, by the time they're 10 years old, they think they know everything. Right, kids? I mean, you're smart as a whip. But don't hand them the key to the car. You know. Don't do those things because they're going to mess up because they don't have the maturity. You'd probably learn to do what I done. You know what? Wade and Terrence both learned to drive in a Volkswagen. That's the way they learned to drive, in a Volkswagen. You know why? Because I could sit on the other side. These cars today be hard to do, but I could sit on the other side, see? And you know what I could do? I could reach over and grab the steering wheel and turn it in case it's running out of the road. But also in the Volkswagen, if you remember, the emergency brakes was right in the middle. So I could just reach over and lock the brakes and turn the wheel. See, I was smart at that. But when Anna come along, she's having to learn to drive in something else. But see, you know, you have to learn to do things, kids. And we're not as dumb as you think we are. And when you get as old as we are, you'll find out that you wasn't no smarter than what we was. Because we're just all kids raised up together anyway. And you know, we love that. That's good. But now listen, let's get on with it. See, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but the rain is not for the children of God. It is for, the Bible is only for the children of God. Right. But the world, you know, the others can benefit just like the rain out here. It falls on the corn, it falls on the grass. I mean, you got kudzu around here that'll just eat the place up and take everything away from you. And the rain falls on it just as well as it does for your corn and your beans and your stuff and all like that. But see, the difference is a weed can never have the divine nature of corn. Right? Even though it can look like it as it grows up and the stalks look familiar to some of the old grass that we have here, you know. But it can never have the nature of the corn. Why? Because it's not corn. That's simple. And unless we're born again, we could never be then partakers of the divine nature of God. Why? Because we don't have the correct foundation. You must be a child of God to have the nature of God. That's what we've got to go into, you know, to see. All right. See, the Bible is written for the elect. The elect. Those that are in Christ Jesus. See? And how do you get into Christ Jesus? You must be born again. Amen. See, Jesus to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not like I say in the message today when they're saying, I always was eternal, then Jesus would have had to have said, Nicodemus, you always was eternal because you always believed. Well, that's not right. He said, but the prophet said, I know what he said, but keep on reading. He said, those that are in Christ Jesus, those who have the new birth today, always was eternal. What? The new birth always was eternal. The Holy Ghost you receive always was eternal. Amen. Now we got it all coming together to make a picture. We ain't got the cow up in the tree trying to eat grass, you know. Alright? See, we got it in order. Alright. Now we read here that Peter, as I said, verse 1, was talking about to those that were in Christ Jesus of like precious faith that he had. I have the new birth, and you that are born again have the new birth. You may not be where I am in the growth development. Right? You understand what he was saying? But it said, you have the new birth, you have the faith of Almighty God. All right? See? Then we read in verse 4 where it says, you have escaped the corruption that is in the world. That's what the new birth does. The new birth takes your soul out of the world. Now, don't take your body and your spirit out. I've got something we got to get on a little bit more on, some more thoughts on the new birth and things, but I'll try to get the point across and we'll drop back to that later on, not today. But now listen. Verse 5, it starts off by saying, add to your faith virtue. All right. Now, it doesn't say that faith is an add. It doesn't say add faith and then add virtue. It says add to your faith virtue. Right? Now we read that. You want to read it again, see? Add to your faith virtue. It doesn't say add faith. Because if it did, then it wouldn't be yours that way. But once the new birth comes, we'll get back to more of this at the end of the message, more on what it is. But once the new birth comes, it's yours. Like Brother Brown said, this is my eye. He said, God gave it to me. The new birth is the birth of Jesus Christ in you. All right? And being that, it becomes yours. That's why it says, add to your faith. Right. Now, not your mental faith. We'll get to that more than going along. See, your mental faith won't do it. Your mental faith will only bring mental thoughts. Right. It's not your mental faith, but watch what it is now. It has to start in your mental faith. Right. The new birth you have today started in your mental faith. Why? Because you mentally believe. But see, that's like I said about those in the upper room. You know, one of them said, well, let's go. We'll just take it by faith. But the other one said, no. It hasn't happened what Jesus said would take place. So we've got to wait. Now, here's where that I like to cover thoughts to keep you from having the wrong thoughts. Okay? Yeah. And I was talking to Brother Gary the other day about this, going up the road. See, Brother Branham says, now watch him. He said, you just can't take it by faith. He said, because, see, they would have said, let's just take it by faith. All right? Now, you agree with that part? He said, they would just take it. They were saying that. But now watch, the same prophet said, but you got to take it by faith. Now, Brother Branham, are you saying one thing one way and another thing another way? You just told us that we can't just take it by faith. But then you turned around and said the only way we can get it is by faith. So what are you saying? That's the reason I like to cover things like that, to keep you from thinking. Maybe sometimes you don't even think about it. Maybe I'm the only dummy that had that much carnal knowledge that had come to me, but I like to warn other people not to think like that. See? So then watch now. Don't say that I'm just going to take it by faith. I'm just going to take it by faith. That would have been what they were saying in the upper room, see. Let's go. We've got everything behind us. We're in the message. The Bible's right. You remember the people there when they refused to go into Kadesh Barnea to start with, you know, the first time. But then when it was all over with, Moses said, you ain't going. You know what happened? Next day, let's go. Man, 24 hours later, they made up their mind. We ain't going to the wilderness. Moses said, you're not going. We're going by ourselves, he said. Wasn't long, a bunch of them got slaughtered, and they come back and lined back up with Moses and said, what are we going to do now? Because they were just stepping out. Boy, you know, that's the way people want to preach, you know. Just step out on everything. Just step out on it, you know. On faith, boy, just step out on it. Well, that's good if you got the faith. But be careful about stepping out in mid-air when there ain't nothing underneath you. You might find a short distance to the ground. Right? But if you got the faith, don't worry about stepping out in open. Right? Don't worry about it if it's there, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11. See? Alright? But see, you say, well, let's get what we're saying. That Brother Branham says, you can't just say, I'm going to just take it by faith. See, that's your mental believing. That's your mental thought or your mental concept that everything's okay. And that's what's wrong with the biggest portion of the religious world today, especially the people of this message. Because they just say, we've got it. The prophet preached it, we've got it. Well, that's just like saying to Brother Dick there, he's been up to the, you know, Statue of Liberty. I rode by it and waved at it, but that's close as I ever got. But he can tell me all about the Statue of Liberty. You know what? I can go to Brother David, I can just tell him all about Statue of Liberty. You know, Statue of Liberty, it's over here, it's over there. And he looks at me and he says, how do you know? I said, well, Brother Dick told me. He said, in other words, you ain't never witnessed being there underneath it. No. Well, see, I'm no good. My witness may be right, but I have not had a personal experience of being there. See? All right. See, Brother Dick maybe tell us the whole story of the Statue of Liberty. How that, now, if I get this wrong, forgive me, because I'm always wrong on what I try to illustrate. But, you know, say Brother Dick says, well, that Statue of Liberty, they got the torch in the right hand, you know, which I think that's right. But anyhow, you know, and I'd come along, and I'd get up there and look at it, and I'd look. Torch is in the left hand. I'd say, well, now, Brother Dick, you might have been there. You might have seen a lot, but you missed something. The torch is in the other hand. Well, see, I'm coming, what I'm trying to get you to see, we've got to have a personal experience of our own. Not what mama says, not what daddy said, not what a preacher said, not what Brother Branham says. And listen, holding up a Bible, them not what God says. But when it's revealed what God says, now I've got something. That's why Peter said, I've been up on the mountain. I was up there, you remember? But he said, I have a more sure word of prophecy. Why? He had a personal experience that was greater. His experience on the day of Pentecost was greater to Peter than walking up that mountain and seeing Jesus glorified. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's the new birth now that I'm talking about. Not just a mental concept or a thought. So Brother Brown says, you can't just take it by faith. You got to have something. But then he turns around and says, everything you get must come by faith. Now what's he saying? Something personal to you that's actually a substance to you. You can't show it. Well, it's in the quote there in a minute. You can't show it to nobody else. You can't show nobody your new birth. You can say, well, this happened to me, that happened to me. The Pope can say the same thing. Right? Some of these nuns, you know, and all, what was the one that passed away not too long ago? She could tell you all about wonderful experiences. But did she have the new birth? But you see what I'm getting at now? See, everything we get must come by faith. But faith is not mental believing. That's what we call it. That is mental faith. Blasphemous name. When your mental faith, I believe it's page 24, when your mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. Amen. Mental faith is wonderful. But then it needs to be quickened. You think I didn't have a great abundance of mental faith? That I had studied the Bible all of my life, and I mean, from the time I was 18 years old up, and from the time I was 18 until I come in the message, and we did and heard of it in 66, so that would have made 26 years old, and you go back to 18, I would have been about somewhere 15 years or 10, 15 years, you know, 10 years or something, studying the Bible. And I studied it, not to try to memorize it. I studied it to try to see what it was telling to me about the God of the Bible. Then 2 years in this message of just pounding until I just rejected my family and things, and I just put my whole heart into studying the message for 2 years, but I still wasn't born again. Well, Brother Dale, what was the difference between the 2 years you were in the message and studying the message than it was the day you got born again? Now, the day I got born again, everything I heard didn't come alive. You know what I'm saying? The day I got born again, everything that I heard didn't come alive. It's still coming to life. You know. All right. But, as I told you this morning, I saw Jesus Christ as one true and living God. As a man. As a person. As a being. Not like the wind or a thought or an anointing or something. And when I did, then, from then on, what I read and what I had read began to piece together. And I could follow him all the way through the Old Testament and come down and see that, watch that person. They're not but one person of God. So what is the new birth, Brother Dale? In this day, the new birth is the birth of the Word, which is the birth of one true and living God. In the days of Luther, the new birth was the birth of justification. That was his new birth. But today, that message of justification is just your beginning. Right. All right. So you see what I'm talking about now. Because now here's the point. The new birth, faith. Have faith, we'll read it in a minute, and be born again. All right. Faith is a substance, Hebrews 11:1. Now, Webster doesn't say this, but Brother Moat years ago came up with a definition. He found it, I'm sure, somewhere in some dictionary. But substance is what anything consists of, whether it be natural or spiritual. Now, is that a good definition of faith? A substance of something that's real to you. You know, see, I've told you about walking up my driveway. Brother Moat would be talking to him about it in that 2 years in the studying, and they were somebody so real he'd be just right with me. And not I was afraid of him. It was like somebody hiding behind a tree looking at me. You know, he wasn't hiding. He was walking right there. But you see, I'd stop and look for him, and I wasn't scared to run. I've been scared, right? Have you been scared? You want to run then, don't you? And I didn't want to run. I wanted to stop and talk to him. But I didn't know where he was at. Just look, you know, and I'd walk on in the house. And you've heard my story of telling it. I'd sit down there with the Bibles like this, and Brother Brandon's the books laying here, and I'd say, Lord, this man says in the last days there'll be false prophets. The Bible says there'll be false prophets. What if he's one of them? And just quiet. I said, Lord, you know I'm serious. He's always answered me. He'd say, what does the Word say? In other words, is he bringing to you the correct understanding of what you've read in the Bible? And I'd say, yes, Lord. I've done that 2 or 3 times. That's what he'd always say. What does the Word say? Because I'd studied the Word. I knew what it said. I knew that Nicodemus was not just I was Baptist. See, Baptist doctrine just says you just get it all when you believe. So Baptists would be saying, and we said it, I mean, people did, they'd say, well, poor old Nicodemus couldn't understand how to be born again. All he had to do was believe. Well, our Nicodemus was putting his life on the line for even coming to Jesus. He was certainly a believer, and he certainly witnessed, and he said, no man can do the things that you do unless God be with you. We know that you're a teacher sent from God. That was Nicodemus' words. But see, we had to prop it up, but we'll get off the background and get on to it. Listen. But faith now, catch the point and we move on. It doesn't say add faith. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say add faith. It says add to your faith. And faith is the foundation, the prophet said, of all things. See? But it's, now get to the point where I can move on, please. Faith is a substance. Your new birth is not a mental concept. That's what most people have, is a mental concept of God. Your new birth is a substance. It's a reality. It's real. Well, Brother Dale, it never happened to me like that, wasn't it? I know I'm hateful, but I don't want to be. I don't believe that there's any difference in the new birth today than there was a new birth on the day of Pentecost. I believe every new birth in the Bible is identically the same. You're talking about speaking in tongues, shouting, crying, believing or something. I'm not talking about that. That's what the baby does after you get it in the world. I'm talking about the new birth. The new birth then is the same in every age. It's the birth of the word of that age, as we'll get to it in a minute. It's bringing that word alive to a reality. That's why you can't be talked out of it then.
That's right. Amen.
There's no need to come and try to tell me all these doctrines that's in the message. I've looked at them and said, well, it just don't fit. What does it don't fit? It don't fit my new birth. How can you have two souls? One of the doctrines is one. Because if you had two souls, you'd have two gods. So it'd be two gods living in you. I mean, it just don't fit. So I'm sorry. No. But that's just the way I believe. So faith is not an ad. Faith is a birth.
Right.
A birth. On the day of Pentecost, they had a birth of what had been planted into them for 3.5 years. Not that they understood everything all at once. Whammo, right there. It opened up the whole Bible of everything Jesus said. No. It was just the birth of what they could catch on to. Because the Bible said he bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I've said and teach you things to come. See, it wasn't all poured right back out. What was it? It was the birth of the word that they held. All right. We'll get to that in a later message. Now, see, faith is the new birth. And you cannot be born again without having faith. Now I'm talking about faith substance. Now I'm not talking about mental concept. When I'm talking about this, I am not talking about mentally thinking. Mentally thinking is not the new birth. That's Ford's got a better idea. Some people on the internet in foreign countries wouldn't know, but that was their slogan years ago. Ford's got a better idea for selling, you know, their cars made this way or made that way. It's not just a mental thought. It's not just, I believe the message. That's the evidence the Spirit in you is right. If it agrees with the message. See? Because faith is a revelation. Page 14, rapture message. Faith is a revelation. I didn't give that to you on the notes now. Now watch. Faith is the revelation which is the substance of the gospel. As it's the substance of the gospel, which is the revealed word. That's why the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I believe, what is that, Romans 1:16, is that right? Where it's the power of God unto salvation. That's what it is. The gospel is what you're saved by. That's why faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You must hear. You must hear the word. It comes some way to you. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. All right. So then you must have faith to be born again. All right. Let's read a few things the prophet had to say now. Let him establish it. In a message called Corinthians, Book of Corrections, written in 1957, 4:14. This morning, for about an hour before the wife woke up, I was awake, and the Lord was revealing to me a great something about how God ties His church together by that bond of love, and how it must be. There's not another way for a man to ever be saved without being born again. Now listen to the simplicity. He says, God willing, I want to preach on that this coming week. There's no way you can be saved without being born again. Now what is the new birth? What is being born again? Go down to the next one, number two, and you know, which is perfect faith, preached in 1963, 8:25 in the evening. Now we want to speak now upon faith and a different type of faith, perfect faith. That's a great thing. Now faith, we're told in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. Now you cannot be saved without faith. And faith is something that you have to believe it's there, that really nothing else will declare it's there but faith. Now I'm going to try to bring to you faith. You're talking about a prayer line. You read the rest of it about faith comes by believing God. Well, you understand what I'm saying? You cannot be saved without faith. That's why it's on the pyramid. Faith is the first thing. That's why Peter says, add to your faith to them that are of like precious faith. I've got this faith. I'm addressing this to you that has this faith. Now let's learn how to grow up, was his thought, right? Now, Patmos Vision, paragraph 71, 1204 in the evening. Now ask God while we're talking on revelation. Ask Him to give you a revelation of this. For it can only be known by revelation. And you can only be saved by revelation. You have a knowledge of it intellectually, but you can't be saved until it's revealed to you. No man can call Jesus a Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Right? Go on reading our word. You can't have it without the Holy Ghost. Now you can say, well, the preacher said it. The Bible says it. The prophet said it. That don't mean a thing until it's revealed to you. So now you can't be saved without a revelation. Well, Brother Dale, I just don't understand what you're talking about. Well, then I'm not talking. Why did you read over this and didn't read it? This is what the prophet said. This is his description, right? Page 18, Statue of a Perfect Man, 62, 10:14 in the morning. Notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. That's right. So you see on my chart here, I got the very, very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. See, He must be. And when you are a skeptic of the Bible, when you're a skeptic of the Word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. What is sin? Unbelief. There's only two elements that control the human being. That's either doubt or faith. One or the other. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have, how high you can rise, but first it's got to be faith. Now let me stay on that foundation for a while. Page 23, Statue of a Perfect Man. Here's what we do. What's the first thing? Have faith and be born again. That's laying the foundation. Then after we lay the foundation, secondly, you add to your foundation, add to your faith, Peter said here, and add to, first you have faith, then you add virtue to your faith. That is the next column. First, it's coming right on down. See? All right. Page 17, Statue of a Perfect Man. Read them in between to see if it ain't all matching. Now notice, you must be born again. That is changed. There's got to be a change. You say, well, Brother Branham, I know this certain woman over here. Why? She never did do anything wrong. She's a good woman. Or this such and such a man. He's a good man. He never does anything, you know. He doesn't harm anybody. That don't mean one thing. He might make a good neighbor, but he isn't a Christian until he's born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, St. John 3, that he can't see the kingdom. Well, now that means, see means to understand. You look at anything and say, I don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. Page 17, right on just before this, of the same message, stature of a perfect man. Could you imagine an old buzzard trying to have a couple of dove feathers and say, look here, see, I'm a dove. See? Why? We all know he's a buzzard. See, that's all. We can tell that he's a buzzard. You know why? Because he looks like a buzzard. You know why? Acts like a buzzard. You know why? He eats like one. Now, how many of you ever been around a buzzard? You know, it's a pretty bad way to eat. Because he eats rotten stuff. Have you ever been around a baby buzzard? I doubt most of you ever have. You know his only protection? I was raised on a farm, folks, in the woods. You know a baby buzzard's only protection is to vomit. That's all he consists of anyway, is vomit. He vomits and it's so stinking till you leave. And that's what all of us buzzards look like and act like. Do you understand what a buzzard is? See? Now listen. Now that's why, now that's the way it is trying to manufacture Christianity. That's just like a buzzard. You can't do it. First, you got to be born again. You got to be changed. And when you're changed, you become a new creature. Now you're getting right now, see. And you don't have to worry about the feathers. It'll take care of itself when you're born again. Yes, sir. Like I've always said, you take a hog, scrub him up, put a tuxedo suit on him, or a tuxedo suit. That word T-U-X-U-D-O, I don't know what they meant, but Abraham, he pronounced it tuxedo in two other different ways, I guess, sir. Rather on him and turn him out there, he'll go right to a mud hole and waller. Because you see, it wouldn't do any good. He's a hog. That's his nature. Wallering is his nature. You got to change his nature, and the rest will take care of itself. In other words, he needs a new birth, right? Take the life out of the buzzard, put the life of a dove inside. You got a different situation, right? All right. Now, the rest of these is going on through of discussing about taking the hog out and get him out of the mud and change his nature. So if you take the life of a lamb and put it in a hog, he may look like a hog, he may smell like a hog until he gets washed up, but eventually he's going up on a hillside and lay down and eat green grass. You know, or something like that. He's not going to keep acting that way. And the one that I gave you is where the old Indian, you remember the old Indian? Is number 9 on your marking. And the old Indian said, after me born again, said, two people in me, white dog, black dog. Said, chief, which one wins? He said, one I feed the most. Now what is it? White dog inside by the new birth. Black dog outside, the rest of us body and spirit. See, the one we feed the most. All right? Now, let me just read a little bit through my notes till we get back, and then you just stay right there on number 10. But now listen, faith is the substance of the gospel that is revealed unto you that gives you the new birth. That's why I believe in a new birth. I believe you must be born again. You must receive the life of Jesus Christ to be born again. Not a mental thought, not a conception that you believe. It's not some doctrine you believe. Because if it's that away, next week somebody come along with another doctrine. And you'll believe that one. No. It's being what you're supposed to be. Living like a Christian. acting like a Christian. Not acting like a hog, because the world knows it. You sisters that trim a little bit of your hair, don't think that the world don't know what you're doing. Hair don't grow straight. Come on, hair don't grow straight. You see somebody with their hair straight across the back, they've cut it. That don't need no sense or Holy Ghost revelation. Now come on. You paint your face, put on a little bit. You think the world don't know what you got on your face. Like I've always said, some of you men ought to take a handkerchief or a wet wash rag and rub your wife's face before you go out. Now, brother, you're just getting too hard about it. I'm just telling the truth. You get offended at me for telling the truth, and I'm sorry about you getting offended, not for telling the truth. I have never de-owned nobody or disowned any of you because of the way you do, but I tried to tell you the truth. But don't think that the world don't know. Come on, men. Like Brother Forney's son-in-law was telling about his wife, you know. You remember? Brother Carlos, and he said that his wife told him, said, well, Daddy said these clothes are all right. Brother Carlos said, your daddy don't look at you like I do. Now, that was a good point. Now, some of you men that remember what you used to think about in the world and what you looked at, you ought to look around to your wife and your kids. And you look at them and you see them acting the same way. Now, when a woman puts on war paint, she's on war. Right? No different in the ending than had it all running down, because you get her to crying a little bit and it'll come down. He said, well, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, then, all right. I get paid the same. It doesn't matter. But listen. We need a change. We need a change. We need a new birth. See? We've got the mental concept of the thought of the message, yes. But is it a reality in our heart by a new birth? Now come on. Let's go back to what we're saying. You're not going to hell for cutting your hair and painting your face. Come on. But you're going to hell for disbelieving God's word, because that's the reason you do that. Now, Brother Dale, I believe everything Brother Brown said. You don't do it now. Forget it. Don't lie to me, because you're lying to yourself. You say you believe everything? See, we're getting a lot of things about a birth. What about that forsaking not to assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some? And Brother Random translated that as the manner of unbelievers. That's what he said. But yet, people are just going to lay out for any reason. I've often thought about that. Maybe you're just writing up a book on excuses for missing church. I'd probably be a millionaire pretty quick if I charged you $10 a piece. I could get a lot of money out of that for selling excuses. That's up to you now. I'm not against you. I love everybody. But I try to tell you the truth. And I know I don't preach like all these other preachers that hammer you every service. So when I say it every once in a while, you ought to give consideration, but you won't. Just forget it. Listen. Change the hog and you'll change what he looks like. Change the nature of a buzzard and put the nature inside of him and give him time, and he's going to produce some feathers of the correct order, not buzzards. Why? Because you've changed his nature. All right? See, that's what we need. We need a change of nature. Because that's what the new birth is. You know, the people of this message, you know, they teach polygamy's okay and all like that. And I like what Brother Gary said years ago, because he came from down in that direction. And you ought to see him, the pictures of his old long when he was called chief or so, whatever Cherokee or something that they called him. They called some kind of Indian name for him. And he played in a rock band and had hair about this long and everything else. And somebody was telling us one time about the great revelation they was preaching about in the message now that it was all right to have more than one wife. He said, my Lord, they had that down on Hippie Street in Atlanta a long time ago. You know. See, don't worry about it. The world knows what you are and what I am. They know. All right. See, faith makes you a new creature, Paul said, in Christ Jesus, a new creation, a new creature. Then you're supposed to act like the creature that has brought you into the condition. All right? And as you do, then what happens? What would, they got these armbands. What would Jesus do? You know, the kids are wearing it. What would Jesus do? Take him as an example. What would he do? In the situation of our lives, what would he do? If he came and lived in us, isn't that what the world is expected to see? You say, you're a Christian. Of course, the word Christian, now, let me quote Brother Branham, where in the early days, the word Christian had a meaning until they were at Antioch, they were called Christians because they were acting like Christ at Antioch, see? All right? But see, it wasn't long until the name Christian became the tormentor to kill the other people. That's quoting Brother Branham, maybe paraphrasing, but he's quoting it. The word Christian became to the word they were the people doing the killing. So then you can't say I'm a Christian. You got to live like one. Then they'll respect you for it. But you live like the devil one day and a Christian the next day. They don't have to worry about it. They know what you are. Right? See, the new birth makes you a new creature. And that brings faith on the pyramid. The prophet said the biggest portion of our faith, now listen to him, it's a blasphemous name. The biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. Mental faith. Right? Now, I like what Brother Richard listened to him the other day, because that's the way I've always preached it and believe it. I've got a lot of mental faith in my head I wish was translated into my heart. Don't you? But you know, all that I got in my heart is a substance. Everything God has revealed to me, that's a substance. So all I got is not mental faith. See? The biggest portion of our faith is mental faith, because we won't let it drop down into our heart to become a spiritual revelation. But I still got enough trouble with what amount of mental faith I have. That's my trouble. Standing up here preaching like everything to you, to try to get down to a point, and the devil's saying, they ain't wanting to hear you. Why don't you shut up? They'd even rather hear you sing Amazing Grace. And go home. Because that's faith, and that's the mental part of my mind that's working. But down in the heart is something, and I said, yeah, but you got to tell them the rest of the story. And then we just bear on and go on. But see, the new birth is the birth of the Word. It's always been the birth of the Word. The disciples, they heard that Word. Let's see if I can find where I got that rope. Yeah. The disciples heard the Word. Luke 8 and 15 is the parable of the sower, and it says they keep the word. Matthew 13, 23, says they heareth it and understandeth it. Same parable. The same parable is told in Mark 4 and 20 of the parable of the sower of the seed, and it says they receive it. So you see what the disciples done? They took the word and they keep it. All right. Let's just walk out of here by faith. We got it. Yeah, but he told us something's going to happen. That ain't happened yet. The revelation of somebody said, hold on a minute. But you see, why didn't that Holy Ghost fall on everybody on the day of Pentecost in the upper room? Because only the 120 valued the word. Because like the Bible said, Jesus was seen of over 500 brethren after his resurrection. Where was the 380 of them? They never valued the word. They let the cares of life and the things that was there, the pressure, the persecution, the fear, they let it take it out of them. But 120 held on to it. That's why 120 is the only one that got the Holy Ghost. Then you come downstairs and 3,000 got it. Right. But only 120 made it the first time. Why? Because they were the only ones who held on to that word. They didn't let some preacher come along and talk them out of it. That's why I believe the new birth is the revelation of God's word. Because it's faith. And faith is the substance of what anything consists of. And a revelation is faith. Page 14. Rapture message. Read it. You see, faith, a substance that is a reality. Are you in this message because mom and daddy's in it? Are you in it just because somebody convinced you? And Brother Woodby had a good point. He was talking about Pentecostal people, basically. He said, if you can get a man with a hot dog, you know, in other words, buy soup suppers and things to get people to come to church. No. If you can get them in with a hot dog, somebody else can have a soup supper and a hamburger, and they'll go the other way. You get them in with a hot dog, somebody else get them out with a hamburger. Or offer them a steak or something. Right? That's why that's not right. It's not right to do that. It's right to invite people. But don't pay them to come to church. Now that don't mean you can't, when somebody comes, you offer them something you got to eat. Don't go carnal on me, okay? Keep it in the right order. Don't offer them a hamburger to get them there. Because somebody else offer them a steak and they'll go the other way. Children are born by the word. You remember what the prophet said? He preached his first sermon. And he had the women crying. He had everybody crying. You remember he preached about there wasn't no mama in hell, there wasn't no daddy in hell, there wasn't no God in hell. And he said the people just cried like everything. He went to Dr. Davis after the service was over. He said, what do you think about the sermon? He said, worst I ever heard. He said, but they was crying. He said, they cry at funerals, they cry at weddings. He said, but children are born by the word. Now that man had a thought. Children are born by the word. The only way you can get in the kingdom of God is the word you hold in your heart and let the Holy Ghost make that word alive. That puts you in the kingdom and gives you a new birth, making you a child of God. And in this day, it's the revelation of the one true and living God. So what is this message? It's not seals, vials, plagues, marriage, and divorce. Daniel 70 weeks. It's the revelation of one true and living God. That's the whole message put together. See, that's why that you can keep on going. To approach it the way I do, you can keep on growing up the pyramid. But see, if it's just some mental conception you got, you don't have anything to grow on. You take that baby. You know, I mean, my brother Aaron was. What do you weigh, Richard? 8 or 10 pounds or something. I don't know exactly. I remember them telling me. He didn't weigh a whole lot. You know, Terrence weighed 10 pounds, 2 ounces. And Aaron maybe weighed 9 pounds and something or whatever. I don't know, maybe 8 pounds. But there's quite a little bit of difference in the size of the belly. Right? Something went wrong in the eating. But you know, both of them got to where they are because they were eating. And that's the way we are in the body of Christ. We'll get back to that later to see the growth development. But I'm just trying to get you to see what the new birth is. The new birth is the birth of the word that you heard. The parable. They took the word. They kept that word as valuable. That word is what carried them to the upper room. And then when they got to the upper room, here's the words of the prophet, spoken words original seed. He said there was 120 words laying in the upper room. But said it didn't have no life. That's the way he said it. 120 little words laying in the upper room didn't have no life. But they cast out devils, healed the sick, seen all kind of miracles.
Right.
Didn't have no life. Said, but when the Holy Ghost fell, they was no longer scared cowards. They come running out of there trying to tell everybody else about what had happened to them. But you see, the new birth has always been the same. In every age. It's like all babies. Now, we're not talking about in an age of where that you've got a test tube babies, you got all kind of things that's going. Ever natural babies always born the same. And you know, they're conceived the same. I mean, it takes an act between mama and daddy, and even if you go to the test tube, you still gotta have mama and you gotta have daddy, so don't be carnal with me about it. Get the point. Every baby ever born is the same. Conceived in the mother's womb. Comes forth from the mother's womb, walks forth. And starts growing by what it eats after it gets here. You know it eats off of mama before then? It don't have to eat at all. But when it comes to the world, it's required it starts eating. That's the way it is with the new birth. When you come into the world with a new birth, it's required then that you start eating. The Word. Why wouldn't you want to eat the Word when you are the Word? When the Word has been revealed to you, why wouldn't you want to do it? But see, Brother Dale, you took away all of my experiences. If I took away of an experience for you talking like that, there's something wrong with your experience. Because you're making your experiences being a shouting, hollering, screaming. No, I believe in every bit of that. More than anybody in this building. He said, Brother Dale, you do? Yeah. Because I've seen God. And I know. But you just don't see me tooting it out the whistle all the time. Brother Richard, when we found out yesterday that they'd bought him a church, I said, glory! Brother Richard, this morning, you know what he said? He said, Brother, I knew that when Brother Dale found that out, he'd be happy. He said, because he'd been praying for us to get us a church. I said, you're exactly right. Hallelujah! Anything's life is going to have emotions with it, amen. But get the life first. Don't claim the emotions as the life. Brother Branham said, how did he say it? Let's see. About jumping up in the air. In other words, shouting like everything, jumping up in the air. He said, just make sure you walk straight and you come back down. Now, that was a simple illustration, wasn't it? Just make sure you walk straight when you come back down. Because if you walk crooked when you come down, there's something wrong with you. But you see, the new birth has always been the birth of the Word. That puts every age and every person that's ever been born again in the same family. Whether it be Luther's justification, it was a birth of the Word. Wesley's sanctification, it was a birth of that deeper Word. Or the Pentecostals, the gifts and restoration, and the person of Jesus Christ coming back. It's the birth of the Word. Look what the prophet said on Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Verses 1963, 7:28. Look, Christ in you. Now listen to him. Look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. All right. See? Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God's trying to do? Listen. What is the new birth then? Now I'm reading what Brother Branham says here. Christ the mystery of God's real, page 36. You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen, he said. See? Not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Amen. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. Amen. That is the revelation the church was built upon. Amen. Amen. Now what could be more clear than that? See, he's not out with the shuck, 1965, 2:18. Just what I've got underlined to save time. Your father and I sought you. Remember Mary coming back? Your father and I sought you. What's what she was doing? Your father and I claiming that the birth wasn't supernatural. Now you remember what he was explaining. That when Mary said your father and I sought you diligently, she was denying that Jesus Christ was virgin born. Claiming that the birth wasn't supernatural, that Joseph was the father of Jesus. She denied the supernatural birth. Pentecost took speaking in tongues. They denied the birth of the Word. That's what did it. They'll take so much of it, but won't take the rest of it. It denied the birth of the Word, just like Mary did. Now listen to it. You must be born again, 1961, 12:31 in the morning. No, now, false teachers will bring false births. True prophets will bring the Word, the birth of the Word, Christ. Amen. False prophets will bring false births, the birth of churches, the birth of creeds, the birth of denominations. And here you are, Pentecostal brethren, false scent or sensations, and tell a man he's got the Holy Ghost because he speaks with tongues. I've seen devils speak with tongues, pencils laid down and writing unknown tongues. That don't mean a thing. See, it's got to be a life. By their fruit you shall know them. Brother Branham, do you believe in speaking in tongues? Yes, sir. You believe in shouting? Yes, sir. To be a Christian, I believe that. I believe God's Word. But if the life isn't there to back it up. Spoken Word's original seed, 1962, 3:18 in the evening. Now for the birth of the Word is Christ. Not a polluted with denominations. The early church, no denominations. Just the Word and Spirit irrigated, brother. The God laid the Word down there, and the Holy Spirit irrigated it, and there she went. She brought forth children, certainly. But this church can't do it. She's too denominated. See, she can't do it. She's got the world mixed up with her. Look what they did. You ever heard Brother Brown say like this? Billy Graham and them have 30,000 converts. Go back a year later and can't find 30. Paul have one convert. Come back a year later and he's got 30. I said, what's the difference? He said, Paul stayed with them and took them on in the Word. See, to have a mental concept and start off believing is wonderful. Wonderful. But continue on. Tell the people how your candle got lit. Right? And then continue on. Continue on until the birth is made manifest. What is the new birth, Brother Dale? It's the birth of the Word. That's what your prophet said. So then every birth would be the same. It wouldn't be birth one age one way and another age another. Every new birth would always be the same because we're all born into the same family. But false preachers bring false birth. Teaching the people that there always was eternal without the truth. Teaching the people that you're saved because you believe the prophet. Taking a part of the Word. But not requiring people. That's why I'm against a lot of these doctrines. See, because it takes away from the people, especially the young people, to get them to where they don't want to seek God for anything. Why? Mom and daddy's got it, and I've been told to take it by faith. Now you've got to be born again. God promised you in the Bible that you'd be there with your offspring, but that's when your offspring comes to the same Holy Ghost that's in you. That's the promise. The promise didn't tell me my kids are all going to glory and have eternal life. The promise tells me that my children are going to receive a new birth. They're going to be born again here. My grandkids are going to be born again here. My great-grandkids, if time life, is going to be born again here. Not because they go to Lula Church. Not because they believe Brother Dale or Brother Branham or anybody. But it's when you have your own experience. When you have your own experience. Something real to you. I remember we were going to have a baptism, getting ready for the communion. Go ahead, brother. It's up here, okay. I remember we were going to have a baptism one time, and some good Presbyterians came up. You know? And those good old Presbyterians were taught really be good and sweet. That's wonderful. But we, you know, we was going to have a baptism, and Brother Dick and Brother Al were supposed to get baptized, and here they come. They had a carload. And Al's wife there then, she came with him. And Sister Gail came with Brother Dick. And Laura came with Brad. And Brad came. And was it Ginger or one of the two girls came? Okay. So anyhow, we were sitting there talking. I told him, I said, bring them up early where we can sit down and talk. So we were sitting there talking about water baptism. And I was trying my best to explain, you know, the water baptism and why and what's the reasons and everything. And, you know, and I got about ready and I said, well, okay, then we'll go do the baptizing now. We got a couple to be baptized. Sister Gail said, well, I'm going to be baptized too. You know. I said, well, good. Wonderful. She said, I'm going to be baptized because my husband wants me to be. I said, I won't baptize you. You remember? I said, I won't baptize. She said, but I want to, see, that's Presbyterian. They taught subjection more than Baptist or whatever of wife to the husband, and that was wonderful to teach it that way. And I'm glorying in that and honoring that, respecting that, but I'm just trying to illustrate. I said, no. I said, I won't baptize you because I want you to, you know it's right you're saved. She looked at me and she grinned and she said something. I said, sister, I said, there ain't no need trying to fool me. I said, you see it. She said, yeah, I see it. I said, now I'll baptize you. It was nice for her to come the way she was coming. But see, when she grinned and looked at me, I knew immediately. I said, you see this, don't you? I said, yeah. See, I don't want to force nobody into doing anything. And I remember Laura, she came up, boy, she thought we were going to probably to the biggest place in the world to have a baptismal service or whatever. I don't know whether they explained to her where we was going, but she came with her Sunday go-to-meeting dress on, but dressed to the T to go, you know, to a baptismal service. And we got over there, and I got through baptizing some of them, and I said, you know, I always do. I said, well, is anybody else? And about that time, she just come right off the bank, kicked her shoes off right out into the water with all of that fancy clothes on right out there. And she said, I want to be baptized. I said, okay. See, that's the way you want it. When it's really something that hits you. See, and I didn't say a word to her. You know what she come to me? She said, or Brad did. He said, Sam said, he said, all right for her to wear my clothes home. He said, she don't have no clothes to wear home. She's wringing wet. He said, all I have is some pants and things. He said, all right. I said, look, we're not legalists. We're not. I said, tell her to put the pants on and the clothes if yours in the van and wear them home. But just don't do it no more. And I don't believe she ever done that again. Because it was something real. see? This is not a legalistic thing, folks. This is not a denominational clique or a cult that we have a secret things that other people don't have or some kind of a doings that's within among us that we keep it all to ourselves and all. No, we're putting it out to the world to where they can hear it. Live internet streaming right now. If anybody can hear it around the world, it wants to. Why? Because of Christianity to me is a life. It's a life. It's not just because that I've got to go to church. It's not because that I've got to do right. My kids know I never asked them to do right. I just wanted them to do right. And maybe I'm not the type of daddy that a lot of you daddies are. I probably never did talk to them too much about it. But you know what? It turned out pretty good. Because they knew what daddy and mama wanted. And for in their lives until they come to the Lord themselves, they were doing it out of respect to mom and daddy. And that's wonderful, kids. You should do that. Because we're not a cult of some kind of a group of people that are polygamist or any kind of a sect. We believe in every one of them. Luther's message was right. Wesley's message was right. The Baptist message was right. When they started. But what they done, they just died on it and stopped. But you know, thank God, some people just move from one to the other, to the other, to the other, until they just come right on out with the truth. And then here come the prophet to bring the message. I don't believe in the new birth any different today other than knowing what it is than I did when I was in the Baptist church. Because when I was in the Baptist church, I believed you ought to live a Christian life. I've told you about it. And that old deacon looking at them women getting off that bus. And he's old enough to be my daddy. And I told him, I said, sir, that's not right. You're going to be looking like that. He said, the Bible says, look on God's heritage. I said, it don't say lust after it. I mean, I'd done that right out in front of everybody. I didn't care, because it was a life then. We never had to start going to church after we come in the message. My kids were born and raised in church. Whether they were sick or whether they was well, they was in church. There was no question of whether we was going to church or not. We go on vacation now, there's no question of whether we're going to church or not. The question is, where are we going, where we can find a church? And I told you out in Colorado when I was out there hunting, that I wouldn't even go hunt. I told him, I said, I'm going to go find a church. And we got in the car and rode downtown. We were hunting a church. We rode all over this town in Colorado. It was almost as big as Commerce. We couldn't find a church. I said, find a Catholic church. I've never been to a mass. I want to go. Because this is Sunday and we go to church. And I'm not a legalist on that. It's just what I set my heart. To be what I am, where I am. I know what the prophet said, if you're out hunting, go on and hunt. Because you can't get back. But listen, he didn't say if you was 10 miles down the road, go on and hunt. I've been where he was, 15 miles back on a dirt road where he was hunting one time. It was 15 miles back on a dirt road before you got in the woods. He wasn't telling you some kind of a flimsy thing. I've been with him hunting where I took my gun, walked down in the woods and sat down against a tree and sat there and wouldn't shoot nothing. And you don't believe it, but I've told you, if a world record come by, I wouldn't have pulled the trigger, because I done told God and he knew I meant it. I sat and looked at deer bigger than a lot of people's killed and let them walk off because I gave my promise. Because it's a life to me, folks. It's not just something of a message. This message is a life. It's a reality. Something real. Forgive me, but something got a hold of me a long time ago. And it didn't just start when I come in the message. It already started. It started back there when I committed my heart to the Lord. I didn't have to change a lot of things. This message never stopped a lot of things in our lives. I didn't start going to church when I come to the message. We've always been that. Why? Because when I told my wife, when I first read the Bible, I said, well, if I'm going to be a Christian, I ought to know what the Bible says. And I set my heart to read it and study it, not to memorize it. We were given the little golden stars for every time we stayed in Sunday school. We were given those stars for ever how many times we could memorize so many verses. I didn't ever care about all them little stars. I read about God. I wanted to see God. I wanted to see a reality of a living God. And when I heard this prophet begin to talk about and the things, my wife and I sitting there one day, she said, there's one thing about it. That's before we left the Baptist church. She said, if he's done what he said, he's got to be a prophet. He started talking about a reality of a God that I wanted. This message is real. The new birth is real, folks. It's not an imagination. It's not just a thought or a concept. It's the birth of the Word that you've heard. Asked Brother Gary about it when he told me years ago, Brother Dale, I just can't get this straight. I said, you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to do something. I said, I know right where you're at, Brother Gary. You're trying to do like I done. One day I got a phone call. Rest area on I-20, going into Alabama. He said, Brother Dale, it's over. I said, it is. He said, yeah. I now know what the new birth is because I've just received it. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, you mean he could give it to you in the rest area on I-20? Probably gave it to him on the highway running down the road. He did, he said. See, because it's a reality. It's not just a knowledge. It's not a knowledge you just thought of. It's when all of that you have in your knowledge comes down that you see him. Like I was telling them last night, when I pray, you hear me pray right here, this is the way I pray. You don't have to pray God down out of heaven. I talk to him just like I'm talking to you. That's the way I pray. I talk to God just like talking to you. Why? Because he's real. He's more real than you are. But he don't have to be brought down. Because he said, I'll be with you. All way. He didn't say always. He said all way. Why? Because sometimes he leads away from us because of what we do. Forgive me. Let's stand. Go into the communion. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter verse 23. 11 chapter 1 Corinthians. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Very simple. But you know, it's always been an amazing thing to me. I remember this when I was in the Baptist. Why wasn't John chosen to talk about the communion? None of the disciples, as spoke of the communion. Now, they spoke of the communion, you know what I'm saying? They'd say something about the Lord's communion or something. But Paul was chosen to write about the communion that was not in the upper room and witness the Lord's Supper. He said, I have received of the Lord that which I give unto you. None of the rest of them was chosen to write about it. Paul, one born out of due season to us, to them, chosen to write about what happened in the upper room. Luke, not one of the original disciples. He was not an original disciple. But he's the only one. And I love to read the book of Luke because of that. He said, having perfect understanding. And none of the rest of them said that. They had it now, don't get me wrong, but he said, having perfect understanding. And you know, by the time Luke wrote what he wrote, there was sure a lot of tales went around that wasn't too good. A lot of things was told that wasn't right. But he said, having perfect understanding. The Lord led him to do it. The Lord led Paul to write of the communion. Because he knew the man would know what it was all about. He could look back in that Old Testament and see all of those things and bring it from the Old Testament to the New and explain the communion. Right? Wonderful thing. Forgive me if just talk in a minute. But the Bible says they tarry one for another, so let's just pray for a minute. You pray for me, I pray for you. And pray that God would help us. If anybody has anything you want to get out of the way, now's the time to do it. To get rid of it and get our life straight. So let's just have just a moment of silent prayer. Just open our understanding that we may walk in the light of your love. In Jesus' name. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this bread that has been made for this purpose. It's made now that we can partake of it. It is not your body, we know that for sure. It only represents it. But truly it represents the Word. And that's what you were, was the Word made flesh. So we ask you now that you would just sanctify this bread as we will break and eat, because it's not a round wafer. It's not something that we, Lord, try to keep over. We'll burn it before the end of the day and all, because we'll follow what you say. We believe you and we thank you. Sanctify this bread and the partakers in Jesus' name. Be a wonderful time we get over on the other side and have the marriage supper. And the prophet said it would be communion that we'd be taking. Ain't gonna worry about it. You say, yeah, but hey, there's millions of Christians down through there. Well, are you gonna be worried about time when you're an eternal person? Are you gonna be concerned about how long it's gonna take? You know. I mean, no. We're going to be concerned about what it means. Because then reality would be swallowed up in victory. The reality of the truth. And to know what it was all about and what Jesus said, this is my body. Take, eat. Father, we thank you for this wine. It has gone through the process of aging and is now becomes better each day as we, Lord, know that thy blood is stronger today than it's ever been. We ask you that you would just bless this wine and bless the partakers, that as we eat the little piece of bread and we drink the wine, Lord, that tomorrow it will be blood cells in our body to make us grow. But help us to grow more spiritually in you, Father, and to be led of your love. Sanctify the wine and the partakers, Lord, that we may all be together as one in you, in Jesus' name. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected.